It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
As we continue in our series, Reclaiming Forgiveness, I'm going to ask you if you can guess what this is. This begins with the letter R and has either 6 or 10 letters. Here's a clue. It's a word not normally spoken in polite conversation. At the mention of it, people usually recoil. Still can't get it? It's the word repent or repentance. Why is it unpopular? Well, there's a number of reasons. As a boy, I remember hiking through some undeveloped lands on the outskirts of a city. Painted in white on some of the tree trunks was the word repent. And I thought at that time, even as a young boy, whoever defaced those trees and painted that word seemed strange, a bit off, if you will, to me. Maybe you imagine the word repent being used in an old-fashioned, harsh, and irrelevant religious setting, so you dismiss it. Possibly you associate repentance with condemnation. It makes you uncomfortable. Before we throw the baby out with the bathwater or throw out the word and the concept of repentance, perhaps we should re-examine what the word means. I'm suggesting that a proper understanding of repentance is, among other things, wholesome, grace-filled, and restorative. So what does repentance mean? In the two biblical languages that our words are translated as repentance, or its variations, it's used more than 70 times. Two of the main words are the Hebrew word shuv, which means to turn or return, and the Greek word metanoia, which means a change of mind or thinking differently about something. Dr. Harry Ironside proposes that to repent is to change one's attitude toward self, toward sin, toward God, toward Christ. Let me repeat that. Repent is to change one's attitude toward self, toward sin, toward God, toward Christ. And that's a great start. Let's flesh it out a bit. When we say that repentance is a change of one's attitude, we mean that it's about a change of mind, emotion, and will. Firstly, at the level of the mind, as we've seen already, one word translated repentance is metanoia, a Greek word that incorporates the word for mind or intellect. It seems the Greeks understood that a mental change was a necessary element of repentance. For example, if a person speaks or acts against another person in a way intended to hurt that other person, there needs to be a change of mind, a change of attitude about that offender's words or actions. There needs to be a cognitive or mental acknowledgement that what was done or said was wrong. Until that change of mind, that metanoia, takes place, there is no movement in the process of forgiveness toward rebuilding the damaged or broken relationship. In essence, the unchanged attitude is affirmed as wrong. Number two, at the level of emotion, biblical languages also include an emotional dimension of regret or remorse in the concept of repentance. One Hebrew language resource notes that the word nacham seems to reflect the idea of breathing deeply, hence the physical display of one's feelings, usually sorrow, compassion, or comfort. Job, nearing the end of his trial, uses this word when he says, "I despise myself and repent, I nacham in dust and ashes," Job 42, verse 6. This conveys something of Job's depth of emotion as he responds to the Lord. In the New Testament, Paul links sorrow with repentance. Here are his words from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 to 10 in the New Living Translation. "Now, I am glad I sent the letter, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow that God wants his people to have, so you were not harmed by us in any way. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. It's worth noting that the emotion of sorrow does not necessarily equate with repentance. It may simply be a sorrow over getting caught, for example. However, genuine repentance, when it's present, will be accompanied by sorrow, regret, or remorse. Third, at the level of the will, a third component of repentance is the will or determination to change and to take steps to set right what the person has done wrong. We see this act of will and its resulting change in the Lord's words to Solomon, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn or repent from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We have a New Testament example in the parable of the two sons in Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32. When the father asked the first son to go and work in the vineyard, he said, "I will not." But he later changed his mind. He later regretted it and went. This determination to change is a matter of the will. What do you take away from this podcast? If repentance is a change of one's attitude towards self, towards sin, toward God, toward Christ, then what is the opposite of repentance? What does it mean not to repent? What is it that keeps you and me from coming face to face with our wrongs and changing and doing what is right? I'm thinking it could be a host of things, none of them virtuous. There's self-justification, there's callousness, there's stubbornness, there's pride, there's intransigence and similar conditions of the heart. Take a moment to consider a situation where you may have said something inappropriate or done something hurtful to someone. Do you need to, one, change your mind about what you said or did? Have you recognized your wrong? Number two, do you need to experience a response of your emotions consistent with sorrow, regret, or remorse? And thirdly, do you need to determine by an act of your will to change and make amends? R is for change that is wholesome, grace-filled, and restorative.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at hopestreamradio.com.